Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Well, judging by our Ashley Fine Flores text line, John Sexsmith's appearance has brought a little bit of heat to the show, so I'll try to get to some of those texts coming up at around 145, 148 today. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. It's currently 135 in Edmonton. I know where I was on this day back in 2006, I can tell you that. I was at Overtime Broiler and Tap Room, and it was not a good day for the Edmonton Oilers, but it did get better, but then got worse. All right, we're going to head to our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. An emerging website out there that's become very popular is Puckpedia. Hart Levine joins us right now to talk about it. Hart, how you doing? Hart, do we have you? There we go.
Yep.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, just maybe explain the website, then I'll get into a specific question regarding the agents. But what do you kind of do with Puckpedia?
Okay, well, Puckpedia, the goal is to be the one-stop shop for hockey fans and professionals. So all the salary cap information you could want is on there, player contract details, as well as agent information. So we show all the agents and what clients they represent, and we have a leaderboard of all the agents. And also the player dashboard, you can go on there and you can sort and filter by contract information or stats or a combination of the two to see types of players you're looking for. And then there's also My Puckpedia GM mode, where you can basically have your own version of a salary cap site and model out and do whatever transactions you want and see how it looks in the league.
So in order to gather the information with the respective agencies and know who's representing who, I'm going to assume you've built up a pretty good relationship with several of the bigger players in the business. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the agents are pretty competitive. So when you have an agent leaderboard showing how they rank against each other, all of a sudden the lines of communication are open with them, making sure they get credit for everyone.
So, Hart, tell me this. Where are the majority of the sort of the bigger, the bigger booked agents at in terms of what they think is going to happen here in this offseason?
Well, I think that, you know, most of the agents I've spoken to are pretty realistic that, with the salary cap being flat, not just for another year, but for the next several years, that definitely has an impact on longer-term deals. Because when longer-term deals are signed, there used to be an understanding as part of it that the cap is going up, and that's sort of how teams would fit in those bigger deals. I think the agents are recognizing that. I know in hearing from them on RFA conversations from last year, like at first, if you remember, there weren't that many restricted free agents signed because the GMs were saying, look, I don't really care about the comparables from before COVID. Once we started to get some post-COVID restricted free agent deals, then the other GMs were using those as comparables. And so, like this year, basically for agents of restricted free agents, there's no point even talking to GMs about deals signed before COVID. You have to only use deals that were signed, from the last offseason and since for comparables. I'm sure we'll talk about some of the unrestricted free agents, but that's where it's really wide open. There haven't really been many deals signed for unrestricted free agents since COVID in this new environment. And so that's really just going to be a game of chicken to see what the market will bear for some of these players. And that's kind of where it's up in the air.
All right. Well, you know where I'm going next, Hart. So since, and you put this tweet out yesterday, since March of 2020, Only four contracts have been signed by UFA forwards. That's when the contract starts in UFA for 3+ years and a $4 million year cap hit. So Brendan Gallagher, represented by Jerry Johansson, who's got the fifth largest book out there right now, 6 years, $6.5 million. Dadonoff got 3 years at $5 million. Toffoli got 4 years at $4.25 million. And then Alex Iafallo, who was going to be a free agent for the LA Kings, he signed a four-year deal at $4 million. Those are the only four potential UFAs or UFAs out there that have signed. Because we have people going, well, why isn't Nugent Hopkins done yet? And if you're Rick Vallette and you're sitting there and you see that tweet, it shows you how little has actually been spent and committed on UFA forwards at this time, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it shows that there's been a bit of a hesitancy to commit. But also, I think the biggest thing is that just you don't have as much prior deals to compare to. Like, if this, I'm quite confident if, a better world where there had been no pandemic, there either would have been a deal done for Nuge, or it would have been quite obvious what his value was, because there's a whole bunch of deals. You know, you debate, is he a center, is he a winger? But you'd have a whole bunch of deals signed in 2018, 2019, and you could figure out kind of where he stacks in. Now, we can kind of use those, but the GMs are not going to just kind of go along with those as comparables. It's really like, does Nugent Hopkins, for example, does he compare to any of those players that we just have seen? Well, you could compare him against Gallagher and Toffoli and Dadonov and kind of see how he slots in, but that's a pretty small group to pick from contracts. So I think that's what's going to be really interesting to see, especially with the forwards. We just don't have the deals to compare to. And so, again, with restricted free agents, you're really looking at comparable deals, and because you're only negotiating with one team, and so it makes sense you're looking at kind of the evidence and what contracts to compare to. With the UFAs, it's just like when you sell your house, it's worth what someone will pay for it. So I think it'll be hard for some unrestricted free agents to re-sign with their teams until they start to see what's out there in the market, and at least get a sense what some of the offers are and how teams are valuing them. Because again, I think it'll be potentially quite different than the deals prior to March 2020.
Do you think, Hart, that there were some agents out there that were surprised at how flat the market was last year when free agency opened up on October 9th and October 10th?
Oh, I think that's, obvious. I mean, you look at some of the bigger names that ended up taking, like, one-year deals, like a Barry or a Hoffman. Even Toffoli didn't sign right away. Taylor Hall took a one-year deal. Maybe they were sort of expecting it, but it's just like anything. You can prepare for it and mentally be ready, but then when it happens, it was probably a shock. I mean, all those kind of guys in past years would have been signing multi-year deals. Again, maybe they didn't get quite as many years or dollars as they wanted, but you would have seen them signing much bigger deals than they did this last offseason. And, it just, things were kind of frozen up. What I think will be interesting, though, is like if we go out into the future, like next year or the year after, we're going to have a flat cap now for, it'll have been 3-4 years, and we'll have lots of contracts to compare to. It'll be really easy to see what a, 20-goal, 50-point winger should get paid, because, it's not like in the past where you'd always have to sort of adjust for what the cap was in prior years. Eventually, it'll be kind of.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
easy to see where guys slot in. But for now, yeah, we don't have any of that precedent to go by, especially for the unrestricted free agents.
We're joined by Puckpedia's Hart Levine, Bob Stauffer with you in Oilers Now. So you did the same thing amongst defensemen, and the Oilers have got a couple UFAD here. But since March of 2020, only six deals for UFAD, where the contract starts in the UFA year, for three-plus years and $4 million cap hit. The biggest was Petrangelo. He got 7 years at 8.8 to Vegas. Crew got a great deal from St. Louis, I would suggest to you. 7 years, 6.25. Petrie signed with the Habs, 4 years, $6.25 million extension. Brodin, 7 year extension, $6 million a year in Minnesota. I'd say his agent did pretty well in that year or in that deal. Brody got $5 million a year times four from the Leafs. Santana went to the Flames to replace Brody at 4 years at $4.5 million. So two different type of UFA players for Edmonton. They've got Tyson Barrie and they've got Adam Larson. And to me, I'd compare Larson a bit more to Tanev. But Barrie, to me, there could be an argument based on him leading the league and scoring hard that he might be, you know, somewhat comparable to a guy like Torrey Krug. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was top scoring. And so if you value defenseman based on scoring, I mean, you'd think he has to be sort of right at the top of the list. But yeah, I think Krug is a good example. He's historically scored more than him, and he scored more going into this deal. So if you're just looking straight at that, I would see as his agent, like, that seems like a comparable deal. I think practically speaking, St. Louis, they were losing Petrangelo. They wanted to grab someone. I don't know if on the open market Barrie's going to get 7 times 6.5, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 5 or 6 years at $6 million, you know, somewhere close to that. I don't think he's getting, you know, $4.5 or $5 million multi, for depending on his term out there. But I guess, you know, you never know. With a flat cap for the second year, the GMs could tighten up a bit and see what's out there. But from looking at those deals you just saw, you know, those deals aren't that much different than we saw prior to COVID, right? Those ones are, you know, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little less term for some of those guys. Like the four-year deals, maybe they would have been five-year deals in the past. But that's sort of comparable. So I think maybe on D-man, we can still look at some of the prior year contracts that were out there. But yeah, I think, like I said, I think Barry's probably in the $6 million range if he wants to get as much money as possible. And Larson, it's always hard with defensemen that, you know, don't score a lot, because it's, you know, you have to dig deeper into some of the other metrics, and some GMs are interested in those, some are not. But I think, you know, Larson, just like has been reported, he's probably in and around $4 million, you know, maybe 3.75 to $4 million on a 3 or 4 year deal, just kind of looking at prior deals.
How much cap space have you kind of got factored in for the Edmonton Oilers at this time?
So I have right now, they have just under $24 million of cap space. That's with 16 players on the roster. That includes a bonus carryover overage of $600,666, which is made up from this year they had $328,000 of carryover bonus. That was from Mike Smith and Yamamoto's bonuses. And then if you remember last year, they had a bonus overage that they elected to split over 2 years, so that there's another $338,000 for that. So in total, $666,000 of carryover bonuses. I'm also assuming Tourist is going to be buried, which carries a $525,000 cap hit this year. So that leaves them with, like I said, 23.9 million with 16 players on the roster of space.
I'm sorry, did you factor Neil in?
No, that's with Neil on the roster. So if you were to buy out Neil, that moves that up to $27.7 million with 15 guys on the roster.
Yeah, I'd say it's going to be interesting to see how Edmonton sort of deals with things in the offseason. I mean, I know you grew up here, so you've obviously got a vested interest to sort of see how Edmonton does. Just before we let you go here, I know you have different agents on the show. Has the COVID situation in the two respective countries, has that got brought up at any point? Because I wonder whether or not with some American players, whether or not they're, you know, we always hear, like the Oilers had Doug Weight and Bill Guerin. They were completely happy playing in Edmonton. The Oilers at that time just couldn't pay them what they were worth. Some people have said to me, what about Seth Jones? My guess is Seth Jones is represented, I believe, by Pat Brisson. I could see him wanting to play in the United States, possibly in markets like Dallas or Colorado. Have you heard anything from the agents out there a bit about, you know, concern in Canada's COVID handling and the fact that it was, even though it's now surpassed the U.S. in single-shot vaccinations, have you heard anything in that regard?
Well, I heard a little bit last offseason, you know, but, I mean, if you think back last fall, we didn't really know that the U.S. would be that much further ahead than Canada, right? So teams agents were, it was more just about if a family was living in Canada, did the player want to go to the U.S. and vice versa? And I guess last fall we knew that the border restrictions were tighter in Canada. So on a short term deal. I do know that, you know, guys considered if they had families in the U.S., would they want to come play in Canada? But I don't think it's really going to be a factor this year, you know, because by the time we play next in the fall, we would expect that, you know, the quarantine rules are different across the border if you're vaccinated, and the cases you'd hope and expect would be better in Canada. So honestly, I don't think it's much of a factor for this coming fall at all. You know, I guess things can always change, but as of now, I think it's more just like the traditional, you know, often American guys want to stay in the U.S. or certain guys want to play in a hotter hockey market or where it's not as much attention, and I think those factors all play in, but I don't think that the COVID and how it compares in Canada versus the U.S. is really going to impact players for this coming offseason.
All right. How do people follow you on Twitter?
Follow on Twitter at Puckpedia.
There you go. Great stuff. Hart, let's do this again. Thanks for your time.
Let's do it. Thanks.
You bet. That is Hart Levine. Bob Stauffer joining you here on Oilers Now, along with Brendan Escott. We got a ton of texts to get to. So, Terry has texted the show. I don't think hacking on Tippett and Holland is warranted. Holland took over a total mess from Shirelli and has had next to nothing to work with until this upcoming summer. Tippett hasn't had the horses in the barn to be able to coach the team properly. That's layoff in two seasons. The results aren't there than have at it. Okay, so you know what? The team finished 12th and 11th the last 2 years. It had two good regular seasons. I think most listeners would suggest the start to each of the two series, you know, okay, a little bit concerning. Didn't get the playoff result either of the 2 years that they were looking for, and I think we all recognized the team wasn't deep enough, and I think we must, you know, it's funny how many people stepped up and supported the Oilers and said, well, the officiating didn't help, and Connor Hellebuck posted a 950. Now, John Sexsmith brought up a couple of the coaching decisions, including playing Draisaitl and McDavid together. That has been one that's been reinforced as well in numerous times. Again, you can text us, 780-496-0063. This text comes in. KJam says, I noticed the players decided to take the mental stance that the regular season is over and it doesn't mean anything now. It seems like they approach the playoffs with a fresh page / blank slate. Why? Is that the message from the coaching staff? Question mark. They were really good in the regular season. I thought they could benefit from carrying that confidence into the playoffs. Why not? Instead, take the approach of it's just another game, back to business. That allows you to carry the momentum that you built through the playoffs. It's a small thing that maybe could have been a big thing. Well, again, I don't think anybody expected to see the Oilers get swept. I thought Edmonton would beat Winnipeg in six. The Oilers outscored the Jets 21-7 in the final six regular season games. I think they missed an opportunity to jump Winnipeg early in the series, and we have mentioned to you often during the Winnipeg series, one concern I had, Winnipeg's an emotional team. They're a team that goes on swings and runs, and we're seeing that now against Montreal. Now, conversely, if the Oilers didn't have to play against DeMello and Scheifele, it's a different series for Edmonton as well. And the margin was really tight between those two teams. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. This texter comes in. Please stop complaining about the penalties in the playoffs. Connor McDavid is the best player in the NHL. He does not need penalties to be called against him to be the best player in the NHL. You guys are always saying how he didn't draw more penalties. Connor McDavid's the best player because he's the best even when he's not on the power play. Give it a break. If you want to argue that he should get special treatment, he's no longer the best player in the NHL. Sorry, I love your show. I'm just tired about hearing about McDavid drawing no penalties. The response. I'm reading the text. The fans are bringing this up. Hey, don't forget about the fact that they didn't get a call. That's the reason why we're reading the text there. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. I remember playing hockey with John in my younger years, says this texter to the show, and says he speaks with such accuracy when he stated the following. Doesn't playoff hockey demand goaltending, defense, and running four lines? That says it all. Well, the Oilers don't have the depth to run the four lines at this stage, not against successful teams. So, and unfortunately, we're going to be discussing this ad nauseum until we close in, as an example, on some other issues, including the likes. Actually, Friday we didn't talk about it much at all because we were talking about the Shifley situation on Friday's show. But we will close in on the upcoming NHL. We'll have the expansion draft, the NHL draft, free agency. There's going to be a lot of topics here to discuss as the Oilers get closer to some of the busier offseason stuff. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. For a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations, go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. As we head off to this day in Oilers history. It was a tough one back at the 630 Chad Studios. Here is Brandon Escott.
And back in 2006, Cam Ward had a 25-save shutout in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final as the Carolina Hurricanes beat the Oilers 5-0 in Raleigh. Frank Cabrile, Frantisek Cabrile, and Matt Cullen each had three-point nights to give the Hurricanes a 2-0 series lead.
Edmonton was frustrated and undisciplined in that game. I think that would have been a game they would have loved to have had back. Obviously, Rolison got hurt late in game number one. Edmonton blowing a 3-0 lead. Oilers won game three back in Edmonton. Cam Ward played great in game four. Pisani overtime in grade five. The Oilers crushed Carolina 4-0 in game six. And then the Hurricanes one bounce better, 2-1 with an empty net goal to win the Stanley Cup in 2006. Special thanks to all of you who are participating in the interactive aspects to the show. Tonight, special guest host Dave Campbell. Reed Wilkins gets the week off, and then we got nothing but conference finals for the next 2 weeks after. What has Dave Campbell got ripping up on Inside Sports tonight, Mr. Escott?
You're going to hear from Avalanche play-by-play voice Connor McGahee, Edmonton Elks Executive Director of Marketing Alan Watt, and XFL News Hub writer Mike Mitchell.
I can remember listening to Alan Watt do Golden Bears football play-by-play in the mid-1970s on CBC Radio. I was like 9 at the time, so it'll be an interesting conversation. He's an entertaining fellow. All right, Sportsnet's Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta tomorrow. Reminder, live racing is back at Century Mile Friday and Sunday evening. No fan access, but you can watch and wager online at hbibet.com. Post time is 6:15. Up next, the Global News Weather Traffic Update with Eileen Bell, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, then the 6:30 Chets. Afternoons with Jalen Nye. So long, everybody, from Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chet.